Good evening, everyone. We are on Evident Footprints, and we are having a few audio difficulties. However, we will work through that. That's how the demons work sometimes. They pull plugs, and they turn switches off and on. I'm Don Nikoloff, your host, and we are either into December 5th on the East Coast or just starting in the Central Time Zone, and you're still in December 4th on the West Coast. So you're behind us, but we'll catch you up real fast here. I made an appearance tonight on another radio show as a guest, and it was quite an interesting show. We were talking about the JFK assassination. I'm speaking about President Kennedy. And we had an hour show, and we had to kind of breeze through all the topics. What was interesting is the topic of the show was to bring out some new evidence that various researchers were coming across. This is an unending story. You know, this took place on November 22nd of 1963. Now, I was in the sixth grade, as I mentioned on the show at that time, and I remember where I was on that day. And what's interesting is some of the key people who were involved in the assassination. And I say that having quite a bit of information as a researcher and someone who was very interested in getting to the bottom of who killed one of our presidents and why this was so important. We can look at what's going on in the world today, and we can draw parallels. We can connect the dots to the events that occurred not just back in 1963, but we can even go back before the establishment of the Federal Reserve in 1913. I did some research on that. I'm not the only one. Webster Tarpley came out with a fantastic book called The Unauthorized Autobiography of George Bush, and he and Anton Chaitkin actually worked on that book together, and they showed the banking connection with the central bankers, and they showed the connection with Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker, Brown Brothers Harriman, the Rockefellers. All the central banks in New York were funding both sides of the war. They were supplying the attackers in two world wars, particularly the Germans and the Nazis, with oil, fuel, railroad supplies, which they were manufacturing. And coincidentally, Prescott Bush's father, Samuel P. Bush, was running Buckeye Steel Castings in Columbus, Ohio, for Percy Rockefeller, or I should say Frank Rockefeller. Excuse me, I misspoke. Percy Rockefeller was the owner of Remington Arms, and through the War Industries Board, he appointed Samuel P. Bush to actually oversee the orders of weapons and ammunition, and they also funneled all this stuff to the Nazis. They did this by controlling the shipping industries through the Hamburg America Line, which also was affiliated with the Warburgs, who were working for the Rothschild families. Okay, and the banks in Paris and London were managed by Paul Warburg, who was the man who penned the Federal Reserve Act. And this was a secret meeting that took place on Jekyll Island, a small island off the coast of Georgia. Now, G. Edward Griffin, the American author, wrote a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island that detailed that. So if you're interested in following up on that research and seeing how Senator Nelson Aldrich basically committed treason against our country and went against the Constitution that we already had in place that gave the Treasury the power to create money, and that it was supposed to be something tangible. What they did is they put a fiat banking system into the place of tangible assets and gave us worthless paper. And ever since then, the value of the paper has been going down, 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 down. You hear people say, well, the dollar's only worth 4 cents today. Or it's, why do they call it a dollar then? Why don't they call it 4 cents? Or it's worth 2 cents. More recent and more exacting calculations show that several months ago, the dollar was worth about minus $20.38. That the debt of the United States is so great that a dollar is worth negative $20.38. That's as of 2.5 or 3 months ago. It's probably more than that. Now, as they try to get the banks out of trouble, printing up more money and secretly giving the banks this money so that they can meet margin calls, and those of you who play the stock markets know what a margin call is. When those times come around, and it usually happens quarterly as a general rule, they have to have this money. Now, they've been embezzling money. They've been stealing money, not by the millions, not by the billions, but in the trillions. In fact, since the Federal Reserve is so in debt from this fiat money that they've created, the amount is exceeding $1,400,000,000,000. You hear we have a deficit of $1 trillion, or maybe it's as large as $9 trillion. I tell you that the amount is $1,400,000,000,000 plus. That's $1,400 trillion. That's when you get into this and try to draw parallels into billions or millions, it's utterly incomprehensible how much money has been stolen. Now, how do they do this? They create what is called derivatives and hedge funds, which are mirrored off of actual assets. But the problem here is the assets do not belong to the people who have stolen this money. They belong to someone else who raised the money, and we've talked about Ambassador Leo Wanta. He's now going by his given name at birth, Lee Emil Wanta. He's still an ambassador. The offshore accounts that he amassed under the presidential order that Ronald Reagan set forth, number 12333, gave Wanta or any other intelligence agent permission to conduct a business with the intent of repatriating the money into the U.S. Treasury. It wasn't supposed to be stolen. We've had three successive administrations and various members of Congress and senators. For instance, I'll name the people. George Herbert Walker Bush, William Jefferson Clinton, Senator Hillary Clinton, both as First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton, as well as now as a New York senator and a presidential candidate. In fact, she has stolen, and it's documented by the FBI, she has stolen from the Bank Crozier, it's pronounced in French, in Grenada, $742 billion. These are not exaggerations, these figures. Now, I mention this in writing in the research I've done, and I bring it up here again because this is going on in real time. And, of course, George W. Bush, Richard Cheney, Henry M. Paulson, Paul Wolfowitz, former director of the World Bank, was involved. Paulson and Wolfowitz, Paul Wolfowitz and Henry Paulson both worked for Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs was operating as a bank. They were in violation of Security Exchange Commission rules and laws that prohibit them from laundering money. The award of Leo Wanta's $27.5 trillion amassed was reduced to $4.5 trillion in a settlement in Virginia federal court under the judgment of federal judge Gerald Bruce Lee. This took place in December of 2005. Now, the money was put into an account in the Federal Reserve and then put into Bank of America. Bank of America is a CIA bank. Right now, they are trying to create a new central bank in the United States using the stolen money, and they intend to do this in, my understanding is it will be likely in North Carolina. It may be in South Carolina. I've heard possibly Charleston, South Carolina, but let's say it's going to be in North Carolina. There are Bank of America, Banks of America there, as well as Wachovia Banks, and Wachovia plays a part. It's also a CIA money laundering institution. Citibank currently is holding $4.5 trillion. There has been a scandal going on over the past few weeks about this money. Who has the money? The CIA and the government is lying that Leo Wanta has been paid the money. Why would they, if he's not intended to have this money, why would they be putting the story out there that he has been paid? The world is right now on the border of a major catastrophe, economically speaking. Christopher Story has been writing about this in his World Reports. You could go to worldreports.org. Actually, it's www.worldreports.org, and read a whole series of postings on his website. He's authored other books besides that, the International Currency Review and a what is a greater novel than anything I studied in school, The New Underworld Order, actors playing or dark actors playing dark games. And it's a book about all the secret societies and the satanic worship and the murder and the pedophilia, everything you can imagine. And this covers drugs, the sale of drugs, the use of drugs. And he speaks about it in terms of all the secret societies set up by the Illuminati. We can talk about the Jesuit order, the Opus Dei, the Vatican, the Freemasons, and the Freemason movement is masquerading as a Christian movement, even though there are some people in the Freemasonry, or the Masonic lodges, as they like to call it, who are staunch 100% Christians. They are not aware of what is going on. They're not told everything that's happening, and you only earn this through a privilege. Another secret society, Skull and Bones at Yale University. We've got people in the administration, if you just look at their college records and look to see where they got their college, their law degree, or whatever business degree they have, most of them come out of the Ivy League schools, and in particular, Yale. Now, they make light of this when it's addressed publicly, but these people practice a worship of Lucifer. They practice blood sacrifice, anything from murder to drinking of the blood and of infants and children and women, and it's perverse. It's dark, and we must awaken to this. Now, I would prefer to tell you how to reach God and how to within yourself how to repent and how to cleanse yourself of all this corruption, because to be around it to the extent we are around it, we are affected by it. Now, these people have taken over our educational program, and I'm going to talk about that tonight, because I've been working on a piece that in particular addresses that. The fact that we are under mind control, you know, when someone has been brainwashed or conditioned through propaganda, And there are many people that listen to BBS radio that hear very enlightening programs. I'm not directing this to the people that are bringing what some people like to call new age information forward. It is a new age, but we have to transcend the old age really to be in that new age, and we have to come to an awareness and the consciousness of who we really are. The propaganda and the mind control is designed to keep us from knowing who we are spiritually, to disconnect us from our true selves. And so you will hear me say things like, go inside yourself. I'm asking you to look in within your heart, but I'm asking you at the same time to align yourself with a higher vibration, with a higher energy. And you can do that through prayer. You can do that through acknowledging God's Son, Jesus. You can pray to Jesus. You can ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do the work for you. And you can pray to God himself. I've done all of those. In fact, when I'm out of step, God usually reminds me how I need to set my priorities straight there. Everyone has a different method, but one underlying truth, and that's what this is all about, is discovering the truth and not accepting the false reality that they have created for us. One thing is, once you reach that point, you will know that something is not true. You will begin to see what's behind the magic curtain. You know, they often describe the movie The Wizard of Oz, that when Toto finally pulls back that curtain, what's going on? The wizard is back there pulling all kinds of levers, and he's creating thunder and lightning and noise and all kinds of special effects. And he's even talking into a microphone, making himself sound much larger than he is. Okay, that's Big Brother. That's the New World Order. That's the Illuminati. That movie was to set us up and subconsciously prepare us for the control and to set the stage for the game that they're playing. You know, they use terms like follow the yellow brick road. It was to get you to concentrate on just the material. And we had the Wicked Witch of the West. Well, they were dealing with witchcraft. Now, not all witches are evil. And yet you will hear people say, well, this is black magic or this is white magic. It goes much further than that, because addressing it as white magic, you are acknowledging something that is separate from the universe, as if it's a power unique to you, and that it's not something that binds us all together. We are all part of a grand scheme, which is creation. And it was built in light. It was created in light. It was created in love. It was created in truth and created in peace. And there are those entities in the world, created just like we were, who become greedy and self-serving and selfish and murderous and negative. They become the opposite of what they were created, as if they themselves could rise to the level of the God that created everything. And there is a dark, sinister plan to drag us all down into that. Now, I am of the firm conviction that this lifetime is for us to finally get this right, because the earth is changing. The planets are changing. We hear about global warming. Well, we're not being told the truth about what's going on in that, let alone what's happening in the rest of the universe, particularly in this galaxy that we call the Milky Way. The planets are aligning into a situation where we are going to have to be in a higher vibration, individually and collectively, or we will just cease to exist. Or the existence we will have will be so dark, so dreary, so bleak, that we might as well not exist. Now, they know that this is happening, and I say they, the powers that control the money, the powers that control the economy, the powers in the world that create the war and the false terrorism and the war on drugs. These are the same people growing the drugs, processing the drugs, shipping the drugs, selling the drugs, and giving them to societies all over the world. And they're infiltrating the human family, destroying the human family. They're doing it not just with drugs. They're doing it with the poisons in the food, the poisons in the water, the poisons in the air, and I'm speaking of chemtrails and the electromagnetic, the low-frequency sounds that they're using. And maybe they're playing games with high-frequency, too, in the microwave range. So we have all of these things going on. We are dealing with dark, satanic, or Luciferian forces. These people are worshiping the individual that would see himself as God. And if he's going to lose the battle, and the Bible says he's going to lose the battle, then if we are on his side, we are going to miss what is about to come. Now, it doesn't have to be so dark and bleak as what I'm describing, but that's what's going on. And what I'm noticing is that as I'm sharing information with people, And I'm going all over the place for a reason here, because it's happening all over the place, and it's happening on different levels. Let's backtrack for a moment, and let's look at when we were children, and we were in school. Okay, we were taught that we were going to go to school because we had to get an education, that we had to learn. Okay, so the word education and the word learn mean something, because what we're given to learn, or what we're told is educating us, has been part of the mind control program and part of the propaganda to keep us from knowing the truth. This is a fundamental principle behind where we are today. How do they do this? They get us to focus on our mental body and on our physical body. And you see this in commercials. You turn on the television set and someone begins talking to you, and they begin chanting this wonderful story about how this product is going to make you feel better, how this product is going to make your phallic member grow, and that's going to make the other person in your life happier. In fact, they're promoting homosexuality more than they're even promoting heterosexuality. They're not promoting the wholesomeness of the family. We don't hear stories anymore like Leave It to Beaver. We hear about kids going into school with machine guns, because it's about creating fear. Fear is the tool that they use to keep us in this construct. Now, what's to be feared about not having the right makeup or not feeling good? Well, your neighbor's going to look better than you. Your neighbor's going to be more popular than you. Your neighbor's going to be more successful than you. Your neighbor's going to own more things. What do they do on television in the commercials? They sell us things. They sell us things that we really don't require to survive. I avoided purposely the word need, because if we don't have those things, then we lack them, okay? And a need is a lack. If we want those things, we're actually expressing that we lack it. When we tell the universe, I want lots of money, we're telling the universe, I lack lots of money. But they don't tell us that. They tell us, you have to do this, you have to work hard, you have to get up and do your 9-to-5. You have to pay your taxes. You have to get your shots. You have to go to church. You have to. You have to. You have to. You have to. And they drill it into us until that's you. That becomes your consciousness. That becomes your reality. And yet you know deep down inside something is wrong. Someone is not telling you the truth. Well, it's not up to the government to tell me the truth, so maybe it's my pastor's fault or my priest's fault, the minister at my church. Maybe it's the Sunday afternoon social club. Maybe those people aren't telling me the right things. Or maybe it's because the Bible isn't really true. Maybe they just have me believing that the Bible is true. Well, they use belief to make you think anything is true or anything is false. And they attack those that bear the truth. The light bearers, sometimes we're called, okay? Or the watchers, sometimes we're called. Because what are we doing? We're watching and we're paying attention to what's really going on. And if we're gifted, or we're given a gift, or we learn on our own what is really happening, we can't have both situations be a reality. You cannot be rich and be poor at the same time. You cannot be happy and sad. You cannot be fulfilled and unfulfilled at the same time. And yet they give us both paradigms constantly, because it creates separation and confusion. And it causes you to sway from one place to the other. You may be in the best of moods today, and someone will come on TV with a... Let's say a comment about how the world is just falling apart. The economy is horrible right now, and people aren't eating. And they can control your mood. And now you begin to fear that maybe you're going to feel that way. Or they tell you about how thousands of people died in some event. Usually it's an event, a weather event that they created, controlling the weather. Oh, but wait a minute, they can't do that. I mean, I watch the weather reports. They never talk about that. Of course they don't talk about that. In most cases, the weatherman doesn't even know they're doing it. And if the weatherman were to speak out that he knows what they're doing, he probably wouldn't even be on TV the next day. He would be out of a job if he was even lucky to be alive. He would be looking for work somewhere else. Because they don't want us to know the truth. Now, these forces are so dark, so incomprehensibly evil, and yet at the same time, we have within us, if we align ourselves with God, if we align ourselves with truth, if we fill ourselves with light, and we submit to God and give God these problems and say, God, okay, I know I came here. I know my life has a meaning. It has more meaning than I have in it right now. I really don't feel in my soul that I came here to suffer or to create a family and see my family suffer. That's not what I came here for. If you don't know what it is, you've got to look at it. You've got to go within yourself and into the heart. Through the heart, you can talk to God. But you're not going to do it in your mental construct, especially when it's been controlled. Now, I talked about the Kennedy assassination, and the reason I mentioned all of this stuff here, and I was all over the place, yes, but it all is connected because we are literally bombarded with this information just like I communicated it to you in the same fashion. We are force-fed the accomplishments of professional athletes. We are force-fed the competition going on in sports, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, track and field, wrestling, ultimate fighting, boxing, shuffleboard, pool. They've turned playing cards into a sport, folks. I mean, what do these people do to train? Do they practice shuffling cards at a table while they're eating a bowl of potato chips and drinking, slugging down a few beers? What makes somebody accept the fact that they're just bombarding us with this stuff and we don't even question it? Well, it should sound off an alarm. Hey, look, they're attacking us again. They're attacking our psyche. They're really insulting us. Now, what are the implications? Why is this all important? Well, as long as you have your TV set on, you're going to be controlled by all this. And if you trust that I'm telling you that you're not hearing the truth in the news, you're not hearing the critical stories like I'm talking about, this embezzlement, or why we are fighting wars, it's not about stopping someone from taking our rights away. While they're telling us that they're saving Iraq and they're creating a democracy, they're getting ready to stop me from saying what I'm saying right now. They want to shut us up on BBS and RBN and GCN and all the networks across the country where people like me and even like you, the listener, who are after the truth, who are seeking the truth, are expressing the truth. They want to silence us because their plan is to take over the whole world. Now, when I was a young boy, if you told me that I would be speaking about this now at 56 years old, I turned 56 years old a week ago, I would have laughed at you and said, you're crazy. And yet, that's exactly what I'm doing. I know to the bottom of my being that I came here to this world to share this message. And I'm learning how to deliver it, and I have to do it as Spirit tells me. Spirit doesn't say, okay, today this is where we're doing lesson number one, page 13 through 18, and then tomorrow we're going to pick up on page 19 through 25. It doesn't work that way. These energies are flowing in and out of our reality, and we're about to bust through a brick wall, in a sense. And yet, it's as easy as moving maybe through a barbecue smoke that's floating into your backyard, and you're standing there, and after it dissipates, you know, you tend to see things a little bit differently. It's like a bad dream or a cloud that's in front of you or a fog. And as soon as that fog dissipates again, you can see. You can see the light. what we're doing, what all of us on BBS Radio are doing, and any network where people are bringing you the truth and discussing the problems and discussing the corruption, you have to acknowledge that it's there. To not acknowledge it is to deny what you're seeing. Now, how real is it? Do you want to validate it by buying into the fear, because it's designed to make us be afraid? It's designed for us to become so passive or so confused or so overwhelmed with emotion that we do nothing. That's what's going on in the country today. And we keep seeing the same stories repeating themselves, just in a different way. Why all of a sudden do we have shootings at schools? Why? We didn't used to have this when I grew up. We didn't have kids assaulting other kids, or if we got in some kind of fight, you know, there were penalties, there were consequences for that. Anymore, if two kids get in a fight in school, they take the parents and they throw them in jail, and then they seize all their assets, and they launder the money that's raised through this whole thing. And they throw the parents in prison, they get the kids in a foster home, pretty soon they're on drugs, then they're using them in some kind of mind control program or practicing experimental vaccines on them. And Lord knows what other things. Pedophilia is very big, and it's been covered up, and they're all compromised in Congress. They've all been bribed, and they've been compromised. And I say that with conviction, because I know that it's true. They haven't tried to bribe me. And so far, they haven't tried to shut me up either. And when they do try to shut me up, I'm going to be that much louder with my message, because I'm after the truth, and the truth is going to prevail. It says it in the Bible, too, in case you had any doubts about it. And I know that God is not going to allow this current situation on this planet to continue. It is a prison planet, but it is a gulag of a prison. It is destructive, it is evil, it is everything that is not good, it is everything that is not love, everything that is not peace, everything that is not light. And as they promise us every election that they're going to handle abortion, and they're going to handle health care, and they're going to handle education, they're actually brainwashing you more. They're propagandizing you more with those very statements, because they've never done a damn thing about any of it. They just talk about it, and like stupid fish in a pond, they're telling us that there's no hook on the other end of the worm. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, let's talk about how they initiate this with us as we're growing up. Okay? Let me give you an example. Have you ever attempted to tell someone about some experience that you had, and then you notice that their eyes glaze over, kind of in disbelief? Maybe it was while you were describing something about some previously unknown facts related to a historical event, say something like 9/11. Try, as you may, to convince them that a certain fact has been uncovered. Chances are, their eyes will begin to glare even more intensely than they were in the beginning, until they finally muster up enough courage to tell you that you're crazy, you're nuts, you're paranoid, or you're even unpatriotic. This is going on in the Patriot movement today, that anybody speaks out about corruption in the government is not patriotic. That's part of the propaganda, right there. Expect to see that type of reaction when this new information that you're sharing with this person differs sharply from what's been reported in the media. You're witnessing a reactive effect of long-term mind control and how it expresses itself through fear on a mental and physical level. The mind control finds its origins in many other societal constructs, activities associated with the duties of being a responsible citizen. Isn't that what they tell us? You've got to be responsible. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible, but it's the long-range goal that's hidden underneath all of this. Now, it's not just the propagandized news. Their ultimate goal is to promote this mind control to the extent that they just have total control. They want to control you. They want to control me. They want to control us. Now, what's the purpose of this control? Number one, their first priority is to prevent us from knowing the truth. Now, in that, there lies a secret, and I'm going to share that with you. And I'm not repeating the book, The Secret, by the way. What I'm about to do here now is to show you the difference between belief and knowing. I've talked about this before, and you'll hear this on other shows. We can really make a conversation or a whole show out of this particular topic on any other topic that we discuss, because we are so programmed that we believe things are a certain way, and we don't know. Now, I've heard some very excellent teaching on BBS radio, and I have to tell you, Elizabeth Peter, I called into her show to compliment her on the fact that she was pointing this out to the listeners, that you should not be focusing just on what they tell you. That's belief. And you're in danger at that point of accepting something that may be a total fallacy. And if it's not true, then it's not of the truth, and it's going to hold you back. It's going to stop you from becoming conscious of who you are. Now, I'd like to talk for a moment about what I call the path toward limited consciousness. Most people aren't even conscious of the fact that they're under any kind of external influence, which in itself is a subject for discussion. Because we lack relevant information on various levels, we assume that what we're told is the truth. After all, we learn the truth in school. The word learn, as I mentioned before, is very important here. We go to school to learn about that which we do not know. That's what they tell us. You're going to learn something that you have to know. That's how the system is set up from the start, beginning this programming at an early age, and by the time the subject reaches the age of sexual maturity, he or she will already have been sufficiently indoctrinated for further programming. In fact, preschool prepares us for more rigorous programming by the time we begin kindergarten. And the word kindergarten is interesting. I wondered why they chose that word for the first year of school, and then they call it first grade, second grade, third grade, and they go up by numbers the rest of the grades. Kindergarten in German means children's garden, or the garden of children. In other words, that's the point at which they plant the seeds. The seeds for what? Well, I would suggest to you the seeds for control. Now, we learn reading, writing, arithmetic, science, social studies, which is really also alternatively called history, or his story. And then you have to ask yourself, well, who is he, or to whom does this story belong? We have physical education, music, English, foreign languages, and intramural courses or sports. And intramural means between the walls. Okay, so they're limiting us. They're controlling us in an environment. Okay, and you can say, well, we have to have, you know, indoor sports or whatever. But it's the term intramural, in between the walls. They're boxing us in. We're in an enclosure. We're in a paradigm or in a matrix, and it's been set up for us. And we're just children at this point, so we don't have much to say about that. As a student becomes a little older now, the names of the courses change somewhat, though English, math, and science courses become what I would call method-specific. I mean, we have, spelling, we have reading, and that eventually turns into creative writing or literature, where we have to now understand other people's ideas and communicate in an essay what we got out of that message. But they pick what we learn. What do they teach us? They teach us a book about adultery. Remember the Scarlet Letter. We're kids, and we're being taught about adultery. Contrary to everything that the Bible talks about in the Ten Commandments, we're being force-fed as children the thought, the contemplation of adultery. being dishonorable to our spouse. Now, music, art, and what we would call like the shop courses where they learn mechanics or woodworking fall into, again, discipline-specific categories. And they're frequently considered to be electives. They're not necessarily what we have to study to fit this program. So if I want to study music or I want to take a woodshop class, that's an elective. I've chosen to do that. It's not required. But there's a system, if you go in there, that they want you to follow anyway. And I have to tell you, my experience is they do not teach you music. You don't learn anything like what I learned studying privately or studying even on my own with books. You go through the motions, and basically the level of the music is brought down to the ability of the least proficient participant. If someone can't play their instrument, it makes the band sound horrible, or the orchestra, or if someone is singing out a tune and always singing out a tune and has bad timing, they don't teach the person how to correct that. They just keep drilling everybody over it, and it brings the whole energy down. And no one really learns anything valuable that makes them a good singer. In fact, many of the choir directors do not know how to sing properly. That's been my experience in the school. And yet these people are qualified to collect the pension after teaching 20 or 30 years, dumbing down you and then your children and your children's children and all your friends. And we, like sheep, just follow along and accept that as that's the way it is. Now, sports activities become specific and by what's called middle school or in some states, junior high school, most of the students are indoctrinated into the mindset of competition. Competition migrates into the business arena, and then professional sports plays a major role due to its ability to affect regional mass consciousness. It's written in the protocols of the Elders of Zion to divert us with entertainment so that we are not paying attention to the things that will lead us to higher consciousness. They want us to focus on these meaningless things. You know, I heard something in a movie, and yes, I do watch movies, I do watch television, but I'm not sitting there all the time. I check on the news, I check on the type of programming, I check on my personal thermometer or barometer as to where they are in their mind control program on the masses. You have comedy shows now, and the show that comes to mind is like America's Funniest Home Videos. What do? They mock people to the extent that a baby falls out of a high chair, splits its head open, and the audience is laughing. And this is entertainment. And these people, the people that made that video of that child splitting its head open, might even make $100,000 and get the applause of all these people. This is the trash that they're feeding us through the airwaves. And they talk about we are responsible for the air pollution. It's amazing, the dichotomies that are there. But this is the double-mindedness. And then they come on TV and they lie. They lie about even what the weather is going to be. If you were wrong more than 50% of the time at your job, you'd be fired. And you'd be out maybe with a tin can on a street corner begging for money. Yet you survive and produce positive results 30% of the time, like in baseball with a 300 average. That's only 30% success ratio. You would not last a week in a bank losing 70% of the money that was moving through that bank. And yet these people are paid millions of dollars to do that. Why? Because they have your attention focused somewhere else other than where you will find the truth. Unless you want to learn the technique of mind control, then study what they're doing in the baseball game. Now music is important. Now they have to have some special celebrity butcher the national anthem. I don't say sing because very few of them even know the words. We've got a senator, Hillary Clinton, is singing out of tune. She's singing like tone deaf in a video. It's horrible. And there are people, there are famous people that are paid millions of dollars that still don't know the melody or the words to the national anthem. And they don't tell you what, when you put your hand on your heart, you're actually doing an Illuminati ritual. They don't tell you that, because that would be to tell you the truth. So they will allow you to do things that even energize what they're doing. Now, I can hear the career teachers out there saying, wait a minute. I devote myself to teaching with all of my being. I give my all, and my students excel, often becoming great leaders in their particular fields. Of course, you know, you have a point there to some extent, but I remind you, teachers, that you too have been brought up through the same system, and you may be unaware of the subtleties of what I'm about to describe. Now, there are plenty of smart people walking around with degrees that don't have a clue to what's going on in the world. And I talk to these people every day. It's difficult to imagine how anyone could subvert the English language for subliminal purposes until you start to consider the meaning of words. The very words I'm using right now are subjected to scrutiny and are interpreted according to whatever their accepted meaning is. However, the accepted meaning doesn't necessarily involve the true definition of the word. For example, let's use a word, recess. And I would put this word under something I would call the reward for following the rules. To a kindergartner, recess means a break between classes where the students are permitted to go outside and play games, maybe kickball, dodgeball, baseball, football, catch, jumping rope, maybe hopscotch or something like that, playing on a sliding board, a merry-go-round, monkey bars, or on a swing. Yet, this is quite different from what occurs in the classroom. But even in the classroom, it's still controlled. Maybe the weather's bad and you have to stay in for recess. You don't get to go out. So they allow you to play, but it's got to be toned down and appropriate for being inside. That's understandable. Now, how do they control you when you get outside? Well, they have to get your attention. If somebody's getting out of hand or it's time to go back in, they blow a whistle. You hear this referee's whistle, which sounds very much like a police whistle. There's an example of frequency control. So they teach you very early on as even preschool, they're teaching you to respond to a whistle. And it's a police whistle, but it's because it's being used outside while people are playing sports activities or games, then it's considered to be a referee's whistle. It's not as bad. But it stops everything on the spot. It gets your attention. And that's what a frequency controller is. Now, they have other types of frequency controls in schools as well. They have bells. Now, you can say, well, the bell tells you when it's time to move on to the next class or the next subject. A homeschooler doesn't go through that. You know, a parent that's teaching their kids, homeschooling their kids, doesn't have bells and alarms going off. In fact, when they use their alarms, what is it? It's a bell that just rings incessantly. And we just accept that. We don't question, is it hurting the kids' ears? Is it going to hurt them, you know, later on in life? Are they going to be deaf or have any kind of ear damage? No one cares about that, as long as it does its job and it controls. Now, it's a subtler type of control, though it's frequency control, and ultimately it's a mind control technique. And we'll explore that in a couple of moments here. Now, the word recess means something entirely differently when you're describing a court or a parliament or an official legislative body. Congress, for example, is often in recess, but that doesn't mean that they go outside and play games. In fact, they do enough of that during the course of their official proceedings. Actually, my research taught me that politicians do play games, some of the nastiest ones around. But in this context, recess is a temporary halt to the official activities. Or at the end of a congressional session, seasonally, they call it a vacation. So there's a big difference between how a child understands the word recess, which is a freedom, which is a a time to cut loose and just go crazy, and what it is in Congress. Now, as a means of discipline, a young student may be excluded from the recess, okay, depriving him or her of the privilege of a somewhat lesser form of control. At the high school level, this same deprivation of freedom, which is really a punishment, is called a detention, a subtle form of incarceration. A student can avoid any sort of punishment or disciplinary action by merely being submissive and following the rules. So the system is set up through the concept of reward versus punishment, same method used to train wild animals. That's how they train tigers and lions and bears, reward or punishment. And they try to get them to do the command. They do it, they get a reward, food, or they get a piece of meat or some little tidbit. And the punishment might be the crack of a whip or a chair or thrown back in their cage, sprayed with water, who knows. Now, control of one's mind or body through punishment does not lead to a higher consciousness, and it doesn't lead to the truth. It creates a false reality that forces submission to an external concept or goal belonging to someone else. Now, for it to be effective, this has to be hidden with some imaginary belief system. The student's deprived of recess or forced to sit at a desk in detention is being conditioned to comply with the rules. The student that learns to fear the punishment and then behaves accordingly because of his fear about receiving the punishment. Or he's going to face consequences of a more severe nature. Now, when the word gets around that this student's punishment has occurred, it's going to create fear in the minds of the other students too. The ones that aren't being punished are indirectly going to be subtly programmed to feel and to understand or to sympathize or empathize what that punishment is like. And so it builds up a fear. Now, what's the root cause of noncompliance? What causes kids to actually break the rules? Seldom is it the cause of an original infraction, or when an original infraction occurs, no one ever questions that. An individual's behavior could easily be attributed to the teacher's inability to effectively communicate to the students. No? An issue which is seldom addressed on an administrative level. Teacher is the adult, and adults are always right. So in this case, the students not only fear the consequences of their misbehavior, they fear the teacher. Why? Because the teacher, whether consciously or unconsciously, is the immediate authority responsible for enforcing policies, the policies of the system. It's alarming when you consider that both sides are participating in a contest for control. Now, this method, to some people, is known as problem-reaction-solution, a form of mind control used by governments and carried out through their intelligence agencies. Ultimately, this method is used to control whole societies, usually through some traumatic event, and it relies upon fear. Think about 9/11. Think about the chaos and the fear that created. And everybody looked to the government for answers. And boy, the government had the answers, but the answers weren't based upon the truth. They were based upon the propaganda. Look at how much money Halliburton is making right now, and tell me there was no propaganda involved in us attacking Iraq. And that Congress would have to pass a law to stop me from saying what I'm saying right now is further proof that they don't want you to come to the truth. So what do I do? Do I cower in fear, or do I recognize it and point it out to you? If we're walking together or driving in a car and you see there's a cliff that I'm about to drive over, I would think while you're a passenger in that car that you're going to say, "Hey, Don, do you know that there's a cliff coming up here?" I think we need to not just slow down, we need to stop and maybe change direction, or we're going to go over that cliff. Of course you're going to tell me that. And if I'm driving and I see that, I'm going to stop. Now, you may ask, why did you stop? And I'm going to say, well, you don't see the cliff yet, but there's a cliff up ahead. So we help each other in that way. But is the insurance company going to call me up on a cell phone and say, hey, you're about to drive over a cliff? No, they're not. In fact, they get to keep my money if I die. Now, depending on what the policy covers, they might have to pay some money out to somebody, but you better believe they're going to try to find me at fault for driving over that cliff. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be my fault, but if I was making a proper turn and going at a safe speed and the road fell apart because somebody cut corners when they built the road and didn't put the proper foundation in it, and it just happened at that moment to collapse, then they're going to have to pay. They're going to still fight it. But if the truth comes out, they will have to pay. That's, again, the problem here, is they don't want the truth to come out. Now, back to the students. Another important consideration when you're talking about any issues of behavior among students, or what pharmaceutical companies prefer to call ADD, attention deficit disorder, lack of attention, whatever you want to call it. It's the subject content of the material that's being taught. Is punishment the proper approach when a student finds a required course boring or uninteresting? Now, some expert out there decided upon the curriculum that's being taught by the same or by a similar system, then there's a likelihood that the subject and the teacher caused the student to become disinterested in learning. Most important is the purpose for teaching certain subjects in the first place. Do they lead us to practical knowledge, or do they serve another purpose, such as the perpetuation of a myth, the obfuscation of scientific discoveries, or even the truth? Now, three required courses in American educational systems, or what I like to call the educational matrix, pardon me, English, history, science, are perfect vehicles for limiting knowledge. How you say? Well, English, through the intentional misuse of definitions, the meanings and derivations of words, and in the literary works as well. History, through the rewriting of historical facts, and that would be what I called before propaganda and disinformation, which creates international divisions among whole societies through the promotion of war, racism, hatred, bias, greed. And then we have science through the suppression of advanced knowledge and facts that could lead us to a greater understanding of how to be healthy, how to fight disease, to understand nature and develop technology and human potential, and then come to a realization as to who we really are and ultimately the truth about all things, even including God. What do? Okay, they grade us on our performance. Okay, and according to our ability to memorize facts, words, formulas, postulates, theories, names, when our grades reach a certain standard, then we're given the opportunity to continue. In other words, they permit us the privilege of further mind control at an institute of higher education. Though we've been taught to perform a variety of mathematical calculations, we've learned little or nothing about our fiat financial system. Which brings us right back to where I started. You see, as we get older, we're smart now. We have degrees and we're making all kinds of money and we're paying for a car and we're paying for our college education still. And then we're paying for raising a family, we're paying for a house, and we're paying three times at least what the house is worth. By the time we're actually paying for whatever price we agreed on, if we carry it out to term, we pay three times the amount of money that the actual selling price was when we first said, yes, we'll buy the house. Now, if you want to pursue this education, you have to do this to qualify for an official entry. I say official entry. In other words, you have to be a player. You have to play along with the system. And you might make it into the business world. If you go to a certain type of college, like the Wharton School of Business, you get catapulted in the business industry. Whether it's manufacturing or sales or marketing, whatever it is. If you've gone to one of those schools controlled by one of the secret societies, which have been permeated or infiltrated by these secret societies on a global scale, then you will meet the criteria to become one of the elite. And you'll have a little bit better quality life than someone else. But eventually, when the money is worthless, you are going to have a lot of worthless money in your bank account. That's the bottom line. And you will have not paid for all the things that you think you own, because they've led you to believe that you are what you eat, and you are what you think, and you are what you own. Those are mere illusions. They're mere reflections of who you really are and what you've accomplished. What can you tell me about the truth when you own a Rolls Royce that's different from when you own a Ferrari? And how does the truth change if that Ferrari becomes a Volkswagen Beetle? Or a truck? Or a van? Or a bicycle? Because you can't afford the price of oil anymore. You can't afford the gasoline because it's become sky high with the purpose and the intention of the oil companies to destroy the world economy so that they can maintain all the power. They can conglomerate or solidify all the power in their hands. These are some of the people, along with the pharmaceutical companies, that are profiting from wars. They're profiting from the illnesses throughout the world. And while they proclaim to heal us and to look for cures to diseases, they're performing more sinister biological experiments to further contaminate your system, to make you sicker. And the injections that they give you, which they call vaccines, are laced with untested or intentionally inserted components that are further going to make you sick down the road, inducing heart problems and diabetes and depression and maybe Alzheimer's. They can do all that. And they're not telling us what's going on in space. They're not telling us what's going on with the Earth. And so I ask you to consider what I talked about tonight. When we bring a guest on this show and we talk about a very controversial issue, like we did last night with Eric Orion, we talked about his website, thebushconnection.com, and the book he wrote, The Bush Connection, and his interview with Otto Skorzeny. I took a call on this previous show that I referenced at the beginning, at the top of this hour. And I took a call from a man that called into the show, and I love talking to people. I love it when the listeners call in. Gives us a chance to communicate and exchange ideas. We mutually arrive at the truth, hopefully. That's the point. We have to face what the problems are if we know what we're going to fix. Now, we can turn around. A lot of people in the so-called New Age movement want to just turn around and ignore that any of this stuff is going on. Well, there's some validity in that. You can just be happy within your own little shell, your own little bubble. But when are you going to acknowledge the rest of the life that's on the planet? And in the rest of the solar system and the galaxy and the universe and the multiverse, when are you going to begin to recognize your role? That it's all part of the same thing. You know, how many of you would cut off your left arm? Or your right leg, or your little toe on your right foot? How many of you would do that if it was going to lead you to the truth? And it will not lead you to the truth, I can tell you that. Unless you're doing something so offensive with any of those parts that I named that you would do yourself a big favor, by all means, it's not going to lead you to the truth because it's of a spiritual nature. It's much higher. It's a much higher, more refined vibration, and it's eternal. It's not momentary. It's not something that someone is going to tell you standing in front of a podium in the Rose Garden by the White House. And usually that person and that message is nothing but propaganda and lies. And I can tell you from my own research and the things I've written on and the things I've read, the research and the studies and the digging and the discernment of other people. I don't mean to put myself on any kind of a pedestal here. I'm just saying I've done research, and it's led me to the point where I'm expressing my ideas, my concepts, because my job is to wake people up. That's what I've got a tough job. They don't want us to wake up. They don't want you to know the truth. And yet I consider myself a truth seeker and a bearer of light. And we have to recognize where we're shining the light. And sometimes the light falls on the darkness. But when it does, then there's no more darkness. So we can face these issues. So learn to pray if you haven't prayed. Learn to be silent. Learn to just listen from within and let God speak to you. And God will use you. God will fulfill your greatest dreams, your greatest wishes. And you will have a purpose, a newfound purpose in your life. And then you will become someone to help the rest of us who are trying to awaken the masses. This is a tough battle for us. It can be very discouraging at times. And yeah, I can tell you, just it only takes a handful of people. They are a handful of people that are controlling the majority on the world. We are the majority now, and it's time for us to awaken to the truth. It's time for us to take action. It's time for us to recognize that we have to take responsibility. We have been given free will by God, and these people have spent our whole lifetime and eons before us. I mean, they've been spending thousands of years at taking our privileges away from us with the intent of controlling us to our demise, ultimately to our demise. And that does not have to happen. If you awaken, and those of you who are awake, make it a point to awaken someone else. Bring someone else to the light. Bring them the truth. And examine your day. You know, keep a journal, at least if you're not meditating, you know, you can keep a little notepad and write down, I did this today, or someone made this remark to me, and it made me stop and think about what I was doing because I was hurting myself, or I was holding myself back, or I was holding someone else back, or I did something that I'm not very proud of, and I want to make it right. I want to do the right thing. We have to start thinking with the intelligence that God gave us. The creation is a magnificent thing, and if all the answers came to you right now, you would burn up. You wouldn't be able to handle the frequency and the power that's in it. But ultimately, you will. All of us will, ultimately. Those of us that make it through that veil or through that brick wall, maybe we don't have to go through it. Maybe we can go over it or around it or under it. Now, I covered quite a bit tonight, and this discourse will be picked up again very soon. I want to thank Don for finally getting the audio right, getting me on the air, and I may have gone over a couple of minutes. I apologize for that, but this message was too important to cut off for 5 minutes or so. Anyway, Don, you're doing a great job. I'm very happy to be on BBS Radio. I think the people are great. I'm getting lots of email and some calls from people, positive, talking about how grateful they are that this opportunity has opened up for me. And it gives me great peace and satisfaction knowing that someone out there is hearing this message. Help with getting this message out. If you only call into a show, I didn't give any numbers out. It was my intention to do that tonight, but Sometimes the spirit takes over and just leads me in another direction. But we will be taking calls. Tomorrow evening, I'm bringing Michael Anthony on as my special guest. Again, we've got some important things to talk about. And Michael is also very interested in science and health issues. You know, he's interested in healing, and he has devoted really his life to that. He is a musician. He is an herbologist, and he's a very, very spiritual, very positive, uplifting soul. And I wanted to bring him back so he can continue with his message, because it's just been flowing out of him. It's bursting forth, and it's important. I'm also bringing Ken Adachi on again, and I'm going to ask all the listeners out there to please say a prayer for hopefully Friday night's guest, Friday night, Saturday morning, depending on your time zone, Jim Murray. Jim had to go to the hospital in an emergency situation today, and we're praying that he is healed. And that's really all we have to do. We don't have to go into the details. So I want to thank everyone at BBS for all the hard work to getting me on the air, getting me to you folks. And I want to thank you for listening, and we'll be back again tomorrow night. In the meantime, peace, love, and light, and God bless you all. God bless America, too.